Backstage with Mothership on Solid Rock Radio begins now. Hear the best in new music, artist interviews, stories from the road, and more. You are now backstage, and here's your host, Mothership.
Hey, everybody. Kelly Kay is my special guest. He's an author with ties to the faith-based music community. Some of you may know him from his viral TikToks. Let's jump in and learn more.
I have Kelly Kay with me, who's a husband, father, pastor, author, evangelist, 10 years in ministry, and now he's got some best-selling books. But before we get into that, I want to go into your past and let people know who you are.
Sure. So, you know, I grew up in a very godly home. I can't ever remember not knowing about God. However, there was a time where I didn't want to follow him, and I thought my plan for life seemed a lot better. And all I ever wanted was to be a rock star. And I just rock and roll, playing music. And the problem is, though, I was in a lot of bands, but we were all wildly mediocre. You know what I'm saying? We weren't quite that good. So, but I'd made a lot of contacts in the music industry while playing in bands. So I found myself working for a huge management company. And I became a tour manager for some really big rock bands in the early 2000s. So my past is music industry, not ministry. But God has a way of changing things. Amen.
Amen. That's for real. Tell us a few of the bands that you worked with.
Yeah. So I worked with Nickelback. That was one of the main bands that I worked with before I was touring. So when I was working in the office, I was Nickelback's day-to-day guy. So whatever they needed, I took care of. Then when I started touring, I traveled with 3 Days Grace, Breaking Benjamin, Seether, Red. I was the stage manager for Warped Tour. So I worked with Paramore, Red Jumpsuit Apparatus, Killswitch Engage. I'm still currently the U.S. tour manager for Wang Chung, if you can believe that. You
remember
that?
Oh, my gosh.
Everybody Have Fun Tonight and Everybody Wang Chung Tonight.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. So there's a few of the bands that I've worked with.
Now, I'm familiar with the history behind the horrific wreck that happened at the very end of the End of Silence tour with Red. But what I didn't know is that you were involved, that you were in that van. So for other people who maybe don't know what I'm talking about, would you mind sharing what happened and how it changed the trajectory of your life? Because that was a very defining moment for you.
For sure. And a lot of people know this story about Red. That was a big moment. You know, it was in 2007. We were doing the End of Silence tour, and that was the first big tour Red had ever done. You know, we were doing 20,000-30,000 seat arenas, and so it was a big move up for them. So we had been renting a Prevo, which is a tour bus, and we had just bought our own, but we had to do 2 dates in between from when we dropped off the rented one to we picked up the new one, and we had to use a 15-passenger van. So we're in this 15-passenger van. We just finished our second show. I think we were in North Carolina or South Carolina, and we were driving back to Nashville to pick up our new bus. And this story was in all sorts of magazines. It was on the radio. So this, you may be familiar with the story, but just didn't know I was in it, right?
Right.
So we're driving back in this 15-passenger van. I'm asleep in the very back seat. And we've been driving like 14 hours, and now we're 20 minutes outside of Nashville. So we're almost there. We're about to pick up our bus. I woke up. It was almost 6 in the morning. And normally when that happens, I'll wake up, I'll get up, I'll put my headphones on, start working, listen to some music, you know, whatever. But this morning was different. I woke up, and for whatever reason, I felt like just go back to sleep, which I never did that. And I always had a hoodie on 24/7, and I felt like I needed to take off my hoodie. And then I felt like I needed to sleep on my back, which is so weird because I always sleep on my stomach, right? So all these things happen, and then I fall asleep instantly. That doesn't happen. It normally takes me a long time to fall asleep. Well, little did I know, 10 minutes after all of that happened, we were driving down the road, and a construction company had left a guardrail overlapping into the highway. And normally cars could swerve around it, but since it's 6 a.m. in the middle of, you know, rush hour morning traffic, all the lanes were packed and our driver couldn't swerve. So he hits that guardrail going 70 miles an hour, and it completely tore the side of the van off. Like, just imagine a can opener, just shredded this metal. And while I was asleep, I came out of that hole in the side of the van doing 70 miles an hour. And I woke up in a full scream. I thought I was on fire. I didn't know what was all I knew is that I was burning. I just felt like I was burning alive and I was screaming. And when I finally stopped sliding, I looked up and there's a truck over me, like its wheels right above me. And our trailer had come off the hitch and had come behind me, and a truck hit that trailer and ran up on it. And there I am laying underneath this truck. So I wake up and there's this truck with its wheels sitting above me. And I realize I'm not on fire. You know, I came out of the van, and when the paramedics had got there, they let me know that I had torn 90% of my back off. 90% of my back had got burned off through road rash. And what's crazy is, as I'm talking to the paramedics, you know, while I'm in the ambulance, after they had assessed the scene, they told me all these things. They said, had I been awake and tried to brace myself, I probably would have killed me trying to come out of that metal. But since I was limp and completely loose, my body just, you know, went with it. That saved my life. They said, had I had my hoodie on, it would have got caught in the metal and probably thrown me under the van, and I would have got run over. That should have killed me. They said if I was sleeping on my stomach, which I normally do, I had this huge cut across my head. They said I probably would have slit my throat trying to go out through that metal. All these things, all the little things, even with the truck and the trailer coming the way it did, had it not happened all that exact, just that way, I should have been dead. So I could see the hand of God clearly in this situation save my life. But that day right there, that changed my life forever. I had so much PTSD after that I couldn't tour anymore. I could hardly ride in a car, let alone sleep in a bus anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty famous story, but people just didn't know I was the guy that came out.
Are you? You're not making this up, are you?
I wish I was.
But for real, I bet you do.
Like it was yesterday.
Man, well, I remember that story very vividly, and I've seen the pictures and everything. It's absolutely crazy that any of y'all lived through it. I think Hayden was the only other person that was injured, right? It's like his shoulder, and he couldn't play drums.
He'd already had a shoulder injury, and so. The way that it worked in the van, I slept in the very back seat. Hayden slept right in front of me. So, but we had pulled out their seats, so they were lower on the ground. So I came out, and he slammed his shoulder into the side of all that, and I actually went out.
Wow. That is insane.
It was crazy. It was crazy. Gear was everywhere. The pictures are insane, where you just see amps and guitars and just scattered all over the highway in Nashville. It was wild.
Yeah, I remember seeing like merch and everything.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Every bit of it, man. It was covered the highway. It was wild.
If you've never seen the accident pictures before, I have put a few of them on the loading page for this interview on Solid Rock Radio's website. Were you doing front of house for them or?
No, I was just tour managing. Yeah. I was also guitar teching, but that's because they were literally, it was their first tour. There was no one else. It was me and then Joe Rickard, who was drum teching at the time, who later became their drummer.
Okay, that tracks. So how did things change after the accident? Was it like an aha moment right away? Or I guess I'm asking, how long was it after the accident that God began to really reveal what he had for you to do?
For sure. Well, you know, and I say it was that moment that changed everything. And I would like to be able to tell you that it was that moment where God got a hold of my heart and I surrendered to him. But that's not what happened. What really happened was when I was 13, I heard God speak to me and say, Kelly, you're going to travel the world and preach. You're going to preach in arenas. You're going to preach in all these different countries. Like God showed me that when I was 13 years old. But I hadn't really lived that life. I wasn't really serving him. So all the while I'm out touring, I could hear God's voice, even though I'm far from him. I am so far from him. I'm not trying to serve him. But every night I would lay in bed and I would just hear him saying, Kelly, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. I have a plan for you. And I just really tried to ignore that. So after this crash, I start thinking about that. And I'm like, oh, yeah, God has a plan and a call for my life. I should have jumped right in. But here's what happened. And this is so backwards the way that I was thinking. But I thought, Kelly, you're invincible. If God has a plan for your life until you fulfill it, you can't die. You're death proof, man. That is really what I thought. So this, even though God removed me from the music industry, which that's what he was doing, you know, he allowed me to go through this because he wanted to get my attention. He had something else for me. But now I think I can do whatever I want. And, you know, my whole goal in life was to be famous. I just wanted to be a celebrity. I wanted everybody to love me. And so now I'm out of the music industry. I can't tour anymore. So I come up with this idea for a TV show. And I go pitch this idea to ABC in the West Texas, New Mexico area. And they agreed to it. Like, who gives me a TV show, right? But they gave me my own TV show. So now I'm like trying to be this local celebrity with this. And this show was cheesy. Like, you think I had a TV. It was like Wayne's World meets like one of those stunt shows, you know. It was a mess. But I started doing that, and it got pretty successful. And then we got a new station manager, and he came in, and he's like, I don't like you. You're fired right away. So I lost my TV show. So now I go to try the next thing to be famous, and I start doing stand-up comedy in clubs and bars. And I'm doing that while I'm married. It's my first year of marriage. And in the first year of marriage, I was about to get divorced. Because every night I'm in a club, I'm drinking from, you know, 5 p.m. to 3 a.m. I come home, go to sleep. My wife goes to work. She comes home. I head to the club. And I just wasn't working. So the thing about me, even being so far from God, I hate divorce. Hate it. I cannot stand it. So when my wife and I start talking like, hey, this isn't going to work, I was like, I will do whatever it takes to make sure this marriage works. And so we came up with the idea that we were going to have to leave Texas. I was going to have to walk away from comedy in that industry. So we moved to Oklahoma, but I still wanted to be famous, right? I'm trying to work on my marriage, but I still want to be famous. So I get a job in Tulsa, Oklahoma as the local, the on-field MC for the local baseball team, the Tulsa Drillers. The problem with that was I hate baseball. Hate it.
Kelly.
I'm telling you, I did 77 baseball games that one season, and I said, I will never do this again. Like, this was too much baseball. And that's not the kind of famous you want. Like, when people see the on-field MC for the baseball team, it's not like I want that guy's autograph. It's like, hey, that's that annoying guy that wears me out every inning, in between innings of baseball games, right?
Right.
So it just wasn't for me. So I walked away from that, and I'm about to go. I got this idea for a new TV show, and I'm going to go pitch this TV show to Fox in Tulsa. And while I'm driving there, no joke, I hear the audible voice of God. Now, I don't know if it was audible, but I can't say it wasn't. It was so loud and right in my ear. And God said, Kelly, I'm still waiting on you. I have a plan for you. And I know most people would probably be excited to hear the audible voice of God, but I remember just yelling back to that voice, God, I have tried serving you so many times and I fail every single time. I said, I'm not trying again. I said, I tell you what, God, if you really want me, I said, I'll open my heart to you, but I'm not changing anything. You got to come for me. And I don't recommend that prayer, by the way, but just out of honesty, that's where I was. You know, that's where I was. And I tell you what, something happened, because the next day when I woke up, it was like every desire I had shifted. I didn't want to listen to the same music anymore. I didn't want to talk the same. I didn't want to go do the same things. I was so hungry for God. All I wanted was to get in his word. I started watching sermon after sermon after sermon on YouTube. Like, it just consumed me. I told my wife, hey, I want to get back into church. And she's like, no, we're not going to church. She's like, every time you start to take us to church, me and the kids love going, and then you stop going. She's like, we're not doing that again with you. And I was like, that's fine. I understand. I started going by myself, and it didn't take but about a month before her and the kids started coming. She gave her life to Jesus. My kids got saved. Everybody got baptized. Man, we just got on fire for God, and we have not burnt out once since that day right there. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So that's kind of how I got there from the crash with Red, leading to where I am now. It was a few years, but it still took that crash to get me to that point where I could fully surrender everything to God.
So God closed some doors. And when did you start feeling like you knew what he wanted you to do next?
Like I said, you know, I knew when I was 13 that this is what I was supposed to do. So when that finally happened, when I finally surrendered to him and gave everything to him, that was probably like 2013, 2014-ish. And so I knew, okay, I'm supposed to travel and preach, but how am I going to do that? So I just started getting into the word as much as I could, just trying to just get as close to God as I could. And I knew he would open the doors. And I finally sent out 100 resumes to 100 churches. I had a picture of myself, a picture of my family. And I'm like, I'm called, I'm anointed. God wants me to preach. Can I come and preach at your church? You know, and I know that's ridiculous, but guess how many replies I got back from 100 emails I sent out?
Let's see. Knowing the church and knowing the music industry, zero.
Zero. Nailed it. Not a one. Didn't even get one email, and I was like, God, what's the deal? Like, you told me to preach. You've changed my life radically. Like, clearly you want me to do this. What is the problem? And God said, Kelly, I want you to get online and make videos and post them on the internet. And I was like, God, are you sure? I don't want to do that. I was like, God, I got a lot of famous friends. They're going to think I'm Jesus freak, right? Like, and plus, I was a big guy. Like, I'm still a big guy. I'm like 200 pounds, but I used to weigh 400 pounds, okay?
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I'm like, I'm going to get on the internet making these videos, and they're going to make fun of me because I'm fat. They're going to make fun of me because of the Jesus stuff. And I was like, God, I really don't want to sign myself up for all that. So I made a deal with God. Again, another prayer I don't recommend you doing. But I said, God, how about I write a blog? And so I did. I started writing a blog, and guess how many people read it?
Zero.
So I went to God. I'm like, God, this isn't working. He's like, yeah, no doubt. I told you to make videos, not post, not write a blog. So finally, I was like, all right, God, I'll make videos. And I'll never forget the very first video I made. I just held my phone up, and I did a video, and I said, Satan doesn't attack you like Mad Max. Because, you know, Mad Max Fury Road had just come out. And I was saying, Satan sifts you away little by little. He doesn't come guns blazing, you know? So if you're looking for some big attack, you're going to miss it. He comes little by little. That video was horrible. It's still on YouTube. It's so cringy for me to look at it. But something happened after I made that video. 92 people watched it. It got 92 views. But something happened in me. And the sense of fulfillment came over me that I had been looking for my entire life. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is what I've been looking for. It had nothing to do with being famous. It had nothing to do with making my name great. It had everything to do with using my abilities to make God's name famous, to make him great. And it was this fulfillment just filled me, and it has never left me since. And I realized my whole life I was worried about trying to make my name great when really it's his name that I need to make great. And so after that day, the next day I made a video. The next day I made a video. The next day I made a video. And they started going from 92 views to 100 views to 500 to 5,000 to 50,000 to 200,000. And all of a sudden I started getting millions and millions of views on my videos. And I did a video in 2016 called Is It a Sin to Get a Tattoo? And that video did like 3 million views in the first week. And my phone started ringing off the hook from pastors, camps, conferences, all over the country saying, hey, will you come speak at this? Will you come speak at this? And it was so cool that God showed me. He said, hey, remember when you sent out the emails to all the churches? He said, what was the thing that stopped you from getting into those churches? And I was like, well, probably my tattoos and the way that I look. He goes, well, look at what I used to put you in churches, the exact same thing. The same things that they try to use to keep you out is the thing that I used to put you in. And there you go. I've been traveling, doing full-time ministry ever since. I've written 4 books now since then. Mm-hmm. And man, the fire has not burned out. I post videos every single day. We see hundreds of people saved every day. We see miracles, people's lives getting changed, set free from addictions. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with making God's name great. And what's so cool about that is that when you will let go of your wants and desires and say, hey, I just want to be close to you. I want to make you, I want your name to be great, God. That's when he says, now I can use you. And once I got to that point, he said, now I can elevate you because it's not about you anymore. It's about me. And that's what he wanted out of me the whole time. Amen.
Amen. Your last 2 books are devotionals. Now, why did you choose that format?
So, okay, yeah. So the last 2, I have Think About That Volume 1 and Think About That Volume 2, or Think About That for a Minute, by the way. Volume 2 is about to come out. It's finished, but it's not released yet. So I never wanted to write a devotional. I hate devotionals, if we're going to be honest. All right, I don't like them. So I wrote 2 books originally, Reckless Love Revolution and Get Lit, Stay Lit, Spread It. When it came time to write the third one, I was like, all right, God, what do you want me to write about? And he said, I want you to write a devotional. I'm like, God, why? Again, you're asking me to do this stuff I don't want to do. I was like, there's 10 million devotionals out there. We don't need more noise. And God just kept saying, that's what I want you to write. So I said, all right, if God is asking me to do something I don't want to do, there's a reason for it. So I started buying and just looking through devotionals. And I realized they all kind of had the same format. They all used the same scriptures, right? The I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Lord is my shepherd. And, you know, Romans 8:28, John 3:16, the big heavy hitters. And I said, okay. What is the truth of the matter, though? The truth is every single word in the Bible can set you free. every single word in the Bible has power in it. So I said, what I want to do, if I'm writing a devotional, I'm going to take some really weird scriptures, some really random scriptures, some scriptures that people read over and just don't pay any attention to, and I'm going to show how those can change your life too. So the book's called Think About That for a Minute, and it takes really random, obscure verses you wouldn't expect to find in a devotional. Then we break it down, apply it to our life. There's a prayer for the day and then space for you to write down what God is speaking to you. And I had no idea what God wanted to do, but that book has blown up, man. I think in the first 2 months, the first volume of Think About That for a Minute outsold my other two books in 7 years.
Wow.
Yeah. It has been insane. It's been the number one Christian growth book on Amazon for like 7 months in a row now. And it just blows my mind what God is doing. How crazy is it that when you do what God says, he makes it successful? So weird.
It is. I had one question.
Yeah.
What do you hate more, devotionals or baseball?
Baseball. At least in the devotional, I'm getting God's word, all right?
Okay.
I'm not getting nothing. No, that's funny.
Oh, man.
And I don't hate devotionals. I'm just not a devotional guy. You know what I'm saying? I'm all about God's word. I know what you're saying.
A lot of them are so predictable, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what it's going to say as soon as I read the scripture. Like, I know where we're going, you know? So I wanted to do something a little bit different. And because the first one has done so well and people are just literally writing me every day, will you do another one? So we got volume 2 about to come out. And my goal is to do 10 of them because they're 40 days each. That way, after 10, we can put together one big one for a full year. Then we can move on to some other stuff.
When do you expect it to come out? Have you got a date?
I don't have a set date, but literally any minute now. I mean, we're very close. Hopefully it'll be out in March, sometime in March.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but would you be up to maybe giving us a little taste of what people can expect from Think About That for a Minute? Maybe a sample of a devotion from Volume 1 that's already out? Would you mind?
You know what? That is a great idea. I wish I'd thought of that myself. Yeah, let's show how this book works. So let me show you day 2 in the book. Day 2 is called Flip to the B-Side, which is hands down one of my favorites in the book. So it's John 4:28. So the way this book works is we start with the scripture. So John 4:28, the woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village telling everyone. See, that's not a normal scripture that you'd find in a devotional, right?
Right.
So let's do a breakdown on this really strange scripture. When you were a kid, did you have a plan for what you wanted to be when you grew up? Does your life now look exactly like what you had planned it to be all those years ago? At one point, I was hoping to be a famous rapper. Yeah, you can see how well that worked out for me. We all have plans, an idea, how we expect our life to go, some direction or purpose we decide to pursue. But what if our plan doesn't match God's plan for us? One thing I have definitely learned in all my time as a Christian is that my plan and God's plan almost never look the same. In our scripture today, we just read one short line out of the story of the woman at the well. If you have time today, go read the whole story. You will not be disappointed. You see, when she woke up that day, she had a plan to avoid everyone and get water at noon because everyone else got water in the morning. She was planning to get water and go back home to finish out the rest of her plans for the day. The funny thing is, after having an encounter with Jesus, she ends up leaving her jar beside the well. Not only that, but now she is looking for the same people that only moments ago she wanted to avoid. Does this strike you as odd? It doesn't to me. Scripture also tells us his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. Isaiah 55 verse 8. When I was growing up, I had to listen to music on a cassette. If you're too young to know what that is, good for you. You can Google it. A cassette, for those who were fortunate enough to experience it, had an A side and a B side. The A side is where the artist, the management, record label would put the songs that they thought were going to be the biggest hits. That's because people normally listen to the A side first. However, sometimes the songs that were placed on the B side actually turned out to be bigger hits than any of those on the A side. You see, this woman came to the well on her A side. Her own plan for her life. But after an encounter with Jesus, she flips to the B side. She came wanting water, but she left her jar beside the well. Despite going at noon to avoid people, she left looking for everyone. We all have a plan that we think is perfect for our lives, one that will be a hit. But if we just let Jesus flip us to a B side, there may be bigger hits in store for us than we ever could have planned on our own.
And then what we do after we do the breakdown of the scripture like that is there's a challenge for the day, because it does no good to read God's word and then just walk away from it. The Bible says that we need to be not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. So here's the challenge for the day after that one. Evaluate the plans that you've made for your life today. Are you frustrated that things haven't worked out the way you wanted? Are you willing to let Jesus into the middle of your plans, even if that means flipping to the B side and trying something new? Take time today to ask God what He wants for your life, and then take time to get quiet and listen. Your greatest hit may be closer than you think.
Amen.
Oh, that's so good. I love it, man. I love just God's word is so good. And then after that, after we do a breakdown, after there's a challenge for today, there's a prayer for the day. And the prayer for this one is, Jesus, we thank you that you always take time to meet us right where we are. We thank you for the gifts, talents, and abilities you have given us. And now, God, we are asking that you show us what your plan is for us. We want to know how to use what you gave us, not only to better our own life, but also so that you get the glory for it all. Flip us to the B side today, Jesus. We want to encounter you in such a new way today that we can't wait to run and tell everyone what you are doing in our lives. We thank you for all you're doing in us today, and we offer to lay our plans beside the well. We love you, and we honor you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, I love it. And then right after that, there's some space in the book for you just to write down what God is speaking to you, right? Because our conversations with God shouldn't be one way of us just talking to Him and complaining to Him and then going about our day. No. We need to get quiet and let Him speak to us when we hear His word. So if you notice, that whole thing every day can be done in like 5 minutes. It's so easy to get in God's word, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's a good word.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for letting me share that. I love that.
Thank you. Well, if you guys missed your devotional today, there it is. I see you used your own B-side experience to encourage others. It's very understandable that this is doing so well. It's very relatable.
Thank you so much.
Where can people find your content?
Yeah, you can find all my stuff at kellykministries.com. There's links to all my books. There's links to my socials. You know, you can just search Kelly K Ministries on TikTok, Instagram, whatever. The books you can get at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You don't have to just go to my website, but my website has all the information about me on it.
Okay. You know, I'm thinking, who would have ever thought that when you felt led to do videos, that short form content videos would be so huge right now?
It's crazy.
Right? It's the newest cultural trend, and it's going to launch you into what you were called to do. That's crazy.
I know, right? It's crazy. It's crazy. You know what's really crazy? It blows my mind. People will comment almost daily, your videos are too long. And you know, my videos are between 5 and 7 minutes, which I get. That's long, right?
That is long for today.
I want to yell at them, though, and go, like, don't you know I just gave you a 45-minute sermon in 5 minutes? Like, instead of saying it's too long, you should be clapping and saying, well done, bro. Like, that's hard. That's
how did you do that?
Like, you got 5 minutes. Come on, man. You got 5 minutes. But, yeah, you're right. Our culture is so we want it quick and fast.
Boom, boom, boom.
That's it. If it's over a minute,
swipe,
I don't
swipe,
want
swipe,
it.
Swipe, swipe. Go through those TikTok, those reels. So
for real,
quick.
I'm like, I just gave you a full hour in 5 minutes. Like, I am shocked that I was able to do that, and it's still too long. Come on.
Oh, my goodness. Can you get me a few copies of the book so we can do a giveaway?
I'll send you several. If you want to do a giveaway, you can. If you ever need anything or just prayer or whatever, feel free to reach
out
to me.
Okay.
I'm always available, whatever you need.
Okay. Solid Rock Radio listeners, if you want a chance to win a copy of the book, Think About This for a Minute, Volume 1, go to the Solid Rock Radio website to enter. You may enter from March 4th until 8th until 5 p.m. The winner will be announced on Monday, March 11th. So head over to that website for more details. I appreciate you doing this. I'm headed to North Carolina and Florida to have my face belted by some of my good friends like Spoken, the Protest Disciple. Gonna encourage him with a little food.
That's right, man. You're living the dream right there.
I love it.
You tell Matt Baird, Kelly K said what's up.
I will. I'll be hugging his neck tomorrow night. Appreciate you. Maybe I'll see you one day out on the road.
I hope so. I'm all over, so I bet we'll get a chance. And I would love to give you a hug in person.
We'll be bumping into each other.
keep my info. If you ever find out that, hey, we're in the same area, reach out to me. I'd love to come and get together with you. So, hit me up anytime you want.
Awesome. That's amazing. Thank you,
right,
Kelly.
Thank you for your time. I really appreciate you. You have a blessed day.
You too. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for more great music and check out my blog page on the Solid Rock Radio website for my guests' social media links. If you've missed any of my past interviews, you can find them uploaded to podcast.solidrockradio.org. Have a wonderful week and let's be kind to one another.